Hi, this is Rosanna Hicken, and welcome to Salty Housewife, a podcast where a Utah mom breaks down everything we're seeing on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake and tell you what's really going on in the state of Utah. We are on episode 9 of season 4 of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. The episode is called Don't Come For My Sound Bath. It's iconic. And today we have my guest, Lauren Bickmore, who was my guest in episode 1, first one. And we have her back because, I mean, she's my Salt Lake girl. She knows all the things. So I'm so excited to have Lauren back.
So happy to be here.
Yay.
I feel like it was a long time ago that we recorded that first episode.
And it wasn't even that long ago.
I know, but so much has happened.
And you didn't ruin the family name by being on the podcast. Okay. We're all good. We keep it easy and light here.
It's really tricky to tell the truth, but not be mean about it. You know what I'm saying?
And we could run into these people at any moment.
Oh.
And no, I'm sure they're all listening.
Angie Katsunavis is here right now with us, I'm sure.
I wish she was.
Oh my gosh, I liked her so much. Anyway, we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm a huge Angie fan
She is me. Did you not feel, okay, we'll get there, but like the Lisa Monica.
Trying so hard.
To be the peacemaker.
Make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working at all.
Nope.
Because when you have people as strong as Monica and Lisa.
Yeah.
People like Angie are going to get trampled, but like seeing her genuinely, anyway, we can get there.
Yes.
We'll get there.
Yes. And this, we're starting off, but this was a rough episode for our queen, Lisa Barlow.
I know.
I'm like, Lisa, honey, stop.
We all have our moments, you know.
And this was a rough one.
Yes, it was.
And I was like,
You can't be perfect all the time.
No, you can't. But I was like, ooh, Lisa, she's going to have a lot to talk about at the reunion for this episode.
And when she comes on the podcast.
Lisa Barlow, I will buy you Taco Bell and
Big Diet Coke. And we'll find her a 60 ounce.
62? Sure, I'll get her a jug.
Yep.
A jug of Diet Coke. Lisa,
an insulated please. Jug.
Lisa, please. I'll buy your Vita tequila and I'll give it to somebody. Please, Lisa. Okay, we start off. Okay, so this is where we have like the coming together of of Angie and Monica. They meet at Sweets Cafe.
I gotta go there. That's cute.
It's so cute.
Roses,
I was gonna ask
walls?
You if you've ever heard
no,
about it.
No, is it in Salt Lake?
No idea.
Okay.
Sweets Cafe.
You gotta look that up.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now on my phone. That flower wall
was so cute.
Adorable.
And the cake looked good.
Yes, it did look good.
It was cute in there. When we have our next fight, we can make up there.
Oh, you and me?
Yeah.
Yeah, when was our...
I don't think we've ever fought.
I was going to say, when was our last fight?
If we ever do, we're headed to Sweets.
Nothing is popping up here in Utah. It's showing me somewhere
They might be in Hurricane. Like, you never know. They might drive the hour.
I honestly have no idea. No idea where
this
is.
All right, we're going to research. We'll find let it. You guys know.
So they come in, and it was very sweet. Angie brought Monica this book for her kids about loving yourself.
Yes.
And she said she felt really sad for them after the Easter.
And how amazing, instead of Angie taking the approach of like, you wrecked my party, to be like, I was really feeling for your kids. Like shows us her heart.
Yes. And it was very sweet because Monica said that was the most family thing her kids have done in years.
Oh my gosh. I like really had a tear in my eye.
I know. It was sad. I'm sad for her kids.
And I think when you go through a divorce like that, which I don't know this firsthand, but I would imagine it would be so hard to lose the other family.
Well, that's what she said. She said her ex-husband had like a mom and a dad in a big house and he doesn't live here apparently.
Yeah.
So the kids are with her. Like, I don't think they're really going to, like, he's out of state.
Yeah. You're losing a lot. You're not just losing the spouse. You're losing the family and so much support, which is really hard.
And the only person you have left is your
mom.
Your psycho grandma. Well, your mom.
Yes.
And then your psycho grandma.
For the children, yes.
For the kids, yes. And that's so hard.
Yes.
So they squash everything and Monica says that now that after they got divorced, her mom comes for holidays, but it always ends in a fight.
Oh my gosh. I know. I literally just looked at a meme on Instagram that was like, this is me sitting in my car waiting to go in and hang out with my mom, knowing that like I'm going to be triggered by every little thing she said. And I thought about Monica because it's like that relationship is a necessity. You want that to be so good. But when it's so toxic every single time, you kind of kick yourself. I don't know this firsthand, but I would imagine you would kick yourself like, why do I invite her?
Yeah.
She wrecks every holiday.
Yeah.
but it's your mom and you want her there and you want it to be really positive and it's just not.
And you want your kids to have her in their life, but like.
That would be so hard.
Yes. And you could tell it made Angie sad too, because she said she lost her mom when she was 8.
That was sad too. That was sad. And really vulnerable of her to open up about that.
Yeah. She said she never really got to like love her mom because she was
so young. And no wonder she's that way with Electra. Like sleep in my bed, be here with me.
Yes.
She's my world. I put her number one because that's what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. That made me cry.
Same. That was so sad.
Big Angie K fan. I think that's where she wins the audience.
I love her hair salon. I'm loving her. We're going to be friends. I know. I'm going to be
Angie, come on over. I'm going to put you in my pocket, you little thing.
You cute little thing. We'll wrap you up.
She's so small. Okay. So then we get Lisa showing up to Whitney's in Daybreak.
Oh my gosh.
Tiki torches. And I'm like, where are we going with this?
It's also very windy. All I could think of was like them spraying the spray paint and it just flying all over her grass.
It looks freezing.
Right?
Yeah, they're spraying it to get ready for Bobby's luau party. And at the end, Whitney's like in this like...
the bra.
It's like a plunge, maybe sports bra?
I could not stop looking. I couldn't.
They're just out there. They're there.
They are so big.
I know. They're so big.
The girls.
And like Lisa's in like a windbreaker and sweats and Whit's just like...
The best is that Whitney's like, oh, I do not know how I could do this stuff. The party planner extraordinary. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad Lisa's there to just paint the tiki torches.
Listen, I want Lisa to plan my parties too.
Same.
I love Lisa.
The Queen of Sundance, you mean?
The Queen of Sundance. The Queen of Sundance is there to put the party. And Whitney tells us a little bit. She says that they're getting Bobby a golf cart and that it was a huge debate between her and Justin.
Hey, but you know golf carts are a thing in Salt Lake.
Yeah, I know this now, but I didn't know this. Like, if I didn't live here, I didn't realize that that was a thing, especially because are there any golf courses in Daybreak?
Okay, so get this. So we live by a golf course, but the children in our neighborhood, and I mean children, these are like 11 and 12-year-olds. We're going to get busted for this right now. But
who?
I don't know.
Who's going to bust us? The Salt Lake Police Department?
They're listening. You never know what they like to entertain themselves with. No, so golf carts are a thing. They whiz around our neighborhood, and we have some busy streets around us. They are pulling. The other day I saw some teenage boys driving the golf cart with a longboard attached and a kid, no helmet, sitting on the longboard.
Oh, you know,
I pulled him over and
chastised
him. But golf carts are a thing and it is a way for parents who want their children who can't drive yet to drive.
That's literally what Whitney says. She says she's going to be her personal Uber and that Bobby can take, what's the son's name?
Oh,
what is
Brooks?
It?
Brooks? No.
Brooks?
No, that's Meredith.
No, that's Meredith. Whatever his name is.
I can't remember.
Bobby's going to take him to school. And I was like, Bobby's going to take him to school?
Yes.
But Daybreak also is like a planned community where there's...
You're not going on the highway.
No. Everything has sidewalks and it's all like this master plan community where like you can probably take a sidewalk the entire way to school.
Totally.
Even
but
in
the golf
snow.
Cart was like extended version. Did you... It looked like a bus.
I know. It's huge.
I don't think I'd let my 13-year-old drive that.
And she was like, first time she picks up a boy, it's the end. And I'm like, oh, she's for sure picking up a boy. And that every boy's gonna want to drive that. I'm like, move on over, Bobby. It's my turn to drive.
It's so true.
I was dying. I was like, oh, okay, Bobby's gonna be her personal Uber. And they finished their like smattering of paint
on
the
Jackson
tiki
Pollocks. Copyright.
Yes, on the tiki torches. And they go to sit down, Lisa with her Diet Coke, as always, lover. But they talk a little bit about Monica. Whitney says Monica opened up about her mom. And Lisa says, I love when things are conveniently abusive.
Okay. Mm. Hate that because we always, always, always believe the victim.
Right. Especially when like.
We've seen proof.
Yes.
The tricky thing is like, well, actually, I'm not even going to validate Lisa's comment at all.
No, Whitney just says Lisa doesn't understand because she's never been in an abusive relationship.
Exactly.
She's never had a relationship like that.
Yep.
So she doesn't get it. And she hates Monica so much that it's blurring her vision on anything else. Yeah. Yeah. She does. She cannot see that this is actually a real thing for Monica because she hates her.
And I think Lisa's whole take is like, even if it is a real thing, it's getting in the way of Monica being a kind person.
Yes.
Which we get to later.
Mm-hmm.
But like for Lisa, because she has that hatred, it's like, oh, this, I'm not letting her use that as an excuse.
Yeah. And it's not an excuse like Mare talking about her almost car crash with Whitney or like her disabled.
No, this is a valid
this
issue.
This is a valid issue. Yes. I agree. And it's
downplaying that is a no.
No, Lisa, it was a miss on Lisa's end for sure. Then we get to a little moment with Heather, at her house and her daughters are in their like Hawaiian outfit to go to the Classic Skate Center. And, she's FaceTiming Angie while Angie's getting her glam. And Angie says, like, hey, did you know that Jack's going to Columbia on his mission? She told us at this little brunch that we had announcing his mission. And Heather's like, what?
Here's the deal. If I were Jack Barlow and my mother made me go to brunch.
Was Jack even there?
Yes.
Oh, he was.
Jack, okay. Henry, Whitney.
Whitney's family and Angie's
Whitney's
family.
Whitney's husband. No. Her kids weren't there.
Oh, just Whitney's husband.
I think it was just the couples, Angie and Sean.
And Jack.
And Jack and Henry. And I'm like, if I got my mission call and my mother was like, hey, we need to go to brunch with a couple of my friends, I'd be like, that's a hard pass.
We can go to a lunch with a couple of my friends.
Yeah.
But why would we go to brunch with your friends? Your friends could have watched my live stream last night when we were doing our Jack's mission
call. And again, all in the sake of the show. But I'm like, Jack is hating that brunch.
I wonder if maybe they filmed it and they didn't show it. Like, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, because like, he already did it. Yes. We already saw him announce his mission call.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah. Heather's pissed. She did not like that.
No.
She did not want to miss out on that. She's like, I'm going to have to like stay away from Lisa at the party because I'm pissed.
Yep.
And then we get to the party. Classic Fun Center, which is a Utah staple.
Could you tell if they were in the Provo one or the Salt Lake one?
Well, there's one in the middle, Sandy. Like, I literally
No. Okay, so Sandy is one, but the Provo one, our really good friends own.
Oh.
And it is so fun.
That's the one that we just had Gwen's birthday party at.
Yeah, we had one of my kids' birthdays at that.
In Provo? You drove
at the Sandy one.
Oh, okay.
And it was like the birthday party of the year.
I think they were at the Sandy one because it didn't look exactly the same as the one I was just at.
The one that you and Doug go to for date night.
Yeah, you know me and Doug. We're always rolling into that Classic Fun Center with all the teenagers.
Snowballs.
Yes. It looks so cute. And Angie is, yes, not in the right attire. She's in full disco Barbie attire for a luau.
And she had the glasses on, didn't she?
Yes, she had the glasses on. But like, she wasn't Hawaiian at all. No. She's in like a bedazzled and like 70s vibe.
But you know, it's dark enough in there, maybe it wouldn't even
matter. Yeah. And Meredith came in the smallest bikini top I've ever seen.
I know.
Did you see it?
Yes. Talk to me about how we looked that way at that age, though. With a lot of help.
It's called plastic surgery.
But still, like, she's hot.
Yep. I was like, oh. There are children at this party, but okay, whatever you want to do. But she's like, I'm going to be here for 5 seconds. I'm going to dinner. I'm like, are you wearing this to dinner?
She is. No doubt.
So Angie tells Lisa that Heather felt hurt about the mission brunch announcement.
Doesn't this feel like a she said moment
the
where it's
entire season is she said.
I called her and she feels this way and then she feels that way. And it's like, oh dear, there's no direct adult conversations happening.
Yeah. And Lisa doesn't understand why Heather wants to be there, but she's like, why'd you let that come out of your mouth? And Angie's like, it just came out. And I do think Angie wasn't trying to be like,
no, she seemed so genuinely happy for Jack.
Yeah. She was like, it just came out when I was talking about it. And Lisa's like, why does Heather even want to be there? And I'm like, valid.
Yeah.
Valid.
Yeah.
And Mara says, I'm so ready to go. And she bounces. She's like, bye. Hopefully she brought Bobby a bomb gift.
There are two moments in this that I'm like, I feel you. It's when Meredith says, I'm ready to go. Yeah. Like any kid's birthday party, see ya. And then when Lisa all of a sudden yells, I need a Diet Coke. I'm like, that is my line.
My vibe.
Yes.
Yes. Well, also, I wouldn't want to be at that party either if it was my kids. She doesn't like Whitney.
No, you're beefing with half the ladies there. Your kids aren't there.
No, why would you want to be at this kid's birthday party? No. She's like,
Classic Fun Center is a good time, but not that good of a fun.
Not Meredith Marks good time. But there is a full Diet Coke bar at the party. And this was quintessential Utah.
Oh, because that is a Utah thing, right?
Yes.
On every street corner, you can get a dirty Diet Coke. Do we know what a dirty Diet Coke is?
Tell us.
Diet Coke, usually in a styro cup with nugget ice. Yeah, pebble ice. And then you do splash of coconut flavoring syrup. And then, of course, cream, like a dash of actual cream.
And
a lime, fresh squeezed lime.
Yeah, and don't knock that cream in your Diet Coke until you try it, okay?
Oh, it is so good.
Don't knock it till you try it. If you're sitting at home and you've got both things in your house, go do it. Just a splash.
Just a tiny little splash.
It's not an Italian soda. We're not filling it halfway up a cup.
No.
I know that because I worked at the spaghetti factory and I had to make those all the time in college. Just a little splashy splash.
So good.
Of creamer. And then we get into Heather, Monica, Lisa. And Heather tells Monica that Lisa thinks her relationship with her mom is embellished for attention.
Eek again.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa shows up and she's like, wait, what? What are we talking about here?
And again, Heather's like, oh, let me tell you how Lisa feels about your relationship, who I heard from Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this catty junior high girl
Yes, all of them.
Communication.
Just talk to each other, people. Stop talking to each other. Let's go direct.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like every scene we have a flashback to like Whitney at Heather's house 2 days ago, or Monica with Angie 2 days ago, or Aunt Lisa with Meredith too. And it's
and didn't your mother teach you if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all?
Well, if you can't say anything nice, you're not going to be a housewife. If you only say nice things.
It's so true.
They're not putting you on this show.
They're securing their spot. Mm-hmm.
And Monica keeps relating her mom to Ted Bundy, which is a vibe.
Terrifying.
A real vibe. She's Ted Bundy. And Monica and Lisa turns away at one point to talk to Heather while she's in the middle of the fight with Monica.
Are you talking about the plant thing?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And Monica says that Lisa turns away and talks to someone else like her mom did to the plant at dinner.
And they didn't show that, so they rewind it. And it's showing the mom talking. I was crying at this point.
And then Heather's like, wait, so am I the plant?
Poor Heather.
They're putting Heather's face on the plant. And it's true. She doesn't want to like look at her and talk to her, so she's turning away from her, which I'm sure would be maddening.
So maddening. So petty.
But also like all of this fight is petty.
Oh yeah.
It's so.
And haven't you done that before when you're like so mad at someone and you're like purposely not looking at them?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You're like, oh, I'm actually talking to this other person. I've done that.
Not me. Not
like,
you.
Are you picking up that I'm angry? Yes, I hope you are.
Exactly. And Lisa says maybe Monica is more like her mom than she thinks she is.
Ooh,
and
dig.
But also ding, 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 ding.
I know. It's true.
It's true.
It's so true.
It's a hard truth.
It's a hard truth for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, literally, Doug and I were having a conversation the other day about like friends who have like hard moms.
Yes.
And he was saying at work, they were asking, everybody was talking about their mom and they asked Doug about his and, you know, he's not on any of this level, like Monica level, like nothing. He's like, he's got a normal mom. But so he was like, I couldn't participate. He's like, but the, what I was hearing from other people, he was like, I didn't realize how many people had screwed up moms and how that
cycle.
Affects you.
Oh yes. Yes.
Yes.
And I think it is generational.
And now it's been three generations for them.
Totally. It's really hard to break that cycle.
Portuguese Nana.
Yep.
Hated Linda. Yep. Linda hates Monica.
And I think like, being a single parent, there's nobody there to like call you out, where my husband all the time is like, hey, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Like we keep each other in check, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it would be hard that her only other adult interactions with around her kids are, it's with her mom.
Yeah. Or her grandmother.
So it's validating the cycle, you know?
Yep. And
really psychoanalyzing their family. I love this.
I know, but like they're giving us so much content to be able to do it.
They really are.
And Monica calls Lisa a 50-year-old wannabe.
Oh my gosh. I'm
which
sorry.
Felt like a 14-year-old dig.
Again, yes, it's these little digs that feel so junior high to me.
Childish, yes.
And foreshadowing of what's to come at the sound.
But her mother is so childish when she talks to her. It's like, that's this is what you grow up with.
Like the first diss that comes to mind, I'm just going to yell it out at you as you're skating away. Mm-hmm. And if we could all look like Lisa, we would be happy.
Mm-hmm. So. And Lisa's like, I'm not 50. I actually don't know how old Lisa is.
I don't either. I was thinking probably 40s.
I should probably look it up. I know that was Monica's 39.
I feel like Lisa's probably like 45 or something.
Is she going to hate us if we say that? I'm looking
I don't
up
know.
Right now.
Well, she looks How like she's
Lisa
40,
Barlow.
38.
Lisa Barlow's 48.
Oh,
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I underestimated.
Yeah. Give me Lisa Barlow. Okay. So then Lisa pulls over Heather and says she didn't want to exclude her, but she wanted to be respectful.
Which I thought was very good that she just said it out loud. Like, listen, why would I think that you would want to be invited when you've been really negative about this?
Yeah. Or like when it's a hard point in your life and something that still affects you, why would you want to come to a brunch about a mission?
And that's true. She didn't even make it about her. She literally said like, for your journey.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
And I thought really that was nice. And I agree. Lisa says Mormon stuff triggers her, not Jack. And I'm like,
or Heather said that.
Heather said Mormon stuff triggers her, not Jack. I'm like, but the mission call, like that's.
But it has been triggering you.
Yes.
On live TV.
Yes.
Yes.
And she is triggered by the fact that Lisa calls her one, but isn't. And Heather says to Lisa, "You're the least Mormon person on the planet." And Lisa says, "I'm 100% Mormon." And this is where their problems lie.
I was worried that this was going to turn into like an all out brawl. But I feel like they rolled out of this.
Yes.
And like, Lisa's really good at being like, whatever, I'm the best Mormon.
She said, I'm 100% Mormon. Lisa.
And they turned it into like this kind of jokey banter instead of like a true fight. And I didn't know which way it was going to go. Mm-hmm.
And I think I want them to get along so much because I think that when they do get along,
they're
it's
be
very
great
sweet.
Friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that was a really nice interaction talking about it. And I feel like Lisa can handle those kind of hard conversations.
100%. Because Lisa's just like, doesn't worry about it. She feels great about where she is.
Yeah. And I think that like, it might be helpful for Heather to have a friend like that who like lives in the gray.
Well, and I think it is like so good for Heather to see that Lisa is there and feeling confident. Because I think that's what the whole issue seems to be, is that Heather's like, I can't be like here and I can't be there, and I want to be in the middle, and that's where Lisa is. And it almost feels like if Heather could just say like, I feel good about it, I'm in the gray and I'm good, mm-hmm. like Lisa does, I feel like mm-hmm. she could probably find peace there. I don't know.
Heather, you want to come on?
I know. Seriously.
Heather, you want to come talk to us about it? Well, yeah.
But really, it would be so helpful to hear from that side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think Mormonism and religion in general is so hard that way, because there is like, it kind of, with the rules that we have are black and white, but it's like that gray space is where 99.9% of members live, and learning to embrace that and like feel good about where you are is so important.
Yes. And I agree. And it's something that I hope that it can help them forge this bond
totally
together. They roll out of it well, like yep. you said. And that's the end of the party. And Lisa recaps the night to John the next day.
Oh my gosh.
John
Barlow is waiting in the wings.
I know.
He's just ready to support her and love her. Mm-hmm. And she mm-hmm. says what she wants and then gets right on her phone.
Yep. Yep.
Be here.
Yeah. He's like giving her advice. And she's saying that Angie's not being honest to her about her relationship with Monica. And John's like, well, if you need me to bounce anything off me, need to call me.
He's just staring at her. She doesn't look up from her phone one time.
Just texting the whole time. And John's like, all right, I'm going to go feed the dog.
All right. Love you.
Poor John. Okay. Then we get to the event of the night. Okay. And this is the Prism event for Whitney's jewelry line, yes. at which there's a designer and there's a spiritual intuitive. And then there's Whitney. What's Whitney doing?
I'm looking beautiful.
Yeah, just the
face. That's what she's doing.
She's just the face. I'm like, okay, so why isn't the designer standing up there with you? And there's the designer and spiritual intuitive and Whitney. Just the trifecta. And Lisa's like, who's coming that I might know? And Whitney's like, well, Meredith isn't coming. Meredith's just like pretending to work at her Park City store.
So biz.
And
so
busy. Heather isn't coming because it's her daughter's prom. Which okay. is very cute.
And watching her get her daughter ready, was that a sweet moment?
It was very sweet.
I feel like that was a moment that was like, I feel like Heather's a really good mom.
I agree too. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like she's yeah. so sweet with those girls.
Yes, I agree. And they were, and she, her daughter looked darling.
Oh yeah.
And the party starts. Angie shows up in this like cutout. It's like parts of it are like meshed. And like there have been like 7 variations of this dress that housewives across different ranches have worn. Oh, I will really? Show you later.
Okay.
This outfit has been worn by so many housewives just in different variations and colors.
But never in a child size 10. That's why Angie's wearing.
Such a small human. Never, no.
Maybe and in excess, I also, but never.
I don't think I've seen 10. It in that blue either. I think I've yeah. seen it in red. I got to see Ashley Darby wore it one time. Lisa from Real Housewives of Miami. I'll show you later. Okay. Well, maybe we'll post it. Who wore it best on our Instagram? But she shows up. She's full out. And this party is not Lisa's finest moment ever. No. She doesn't want any of the girls to take Monica's side. And that's, I think, what's triggering her the most. Monica arrives and, you know, she and Lisa avoid each other. But then Whitney gets up to do the speech and it's Monica on the left, Angie in the middle, Lisa on the right. And it is a freaking disaster from the get-go. They can't stop.
Really is. They can't stop.
It's two children bickering.
I know. I have never felt such secondary awkwardness mm-hmm. ever than mm-hmm. watching this go down. Mm-hmm. The way that they could not stop
talking,
going at each other, yep. and they can't just leave it. Like Lisa kept saying, what did she say? Like, I don't even want to talk about you. I don't want to talk to you or about you. But then she'd like make another comment.
Yes. Monica's like, Lisa, my name's still on your tongue. And I'm like, both of you. Stop it.
Oh my gosh. It literally felt like fighting with my sisters when I was little. Yeah. And it's like, you have to have the last word.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just digging at the stupidest mm-hmm. stuff.
Yes, that's exactly what it felt like. And they're fighting across Angie.
Oh, it's
little Angie's like in the middle. And it this part. Then Lisa kind of turns on Angie, which is like, Lisa, do not alienate your biggest ally. Yep. Do not alienate her. Monica says to Angie, she has the best legs. She's talking about Whitney. Whitney's up doing her speech.
Yep.
And Angie agrees, and Lisa turns to Angie and says, "Don't be fake as fuck."
I know.
And I'm like, ooh, Lisa, she's just trying to keep the peace.
Totally. Like, and let's be real. At this point in the show, Monica has given Angie very little to hate her off of. Mm-hmm. Like, we
she didn't start the rumors. Uncovered.
Exactly. Like, she has, they had that lunch or the meetup at Sweets or whatever. They've buried their beef. And mm-hmm. it's like, so at this point, Angie wants to start fresh. She can't hate Monica just because Lisa does.
Agreed. And Monica and Lisa is like figuring things out with Meredith, and nobody's mad at her for figuring out things with Meredith if they're feuding with Meredith. So like, everybody calm.
And it's not like Angie's yelling at Lisa and teaming up with
No. She just doesn't want her to take her side at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we can all agree that Whitney Rose's legs are awesome.
Yes, they are. That is something that we can all universally agree
Lisa,
on.
Lisa, you know it too, honey. Yes.
Lisa tells Angie not to touch her because Angie's like trying to solve it. And she's like, don't touch me. And Angie's like, I can't be in the middle of this fight. And then the sound bath starts. And the fighting just now continues in whisper form.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Okay, so you are someone who hates confrontation.
Hate it so much.
You have two really good friends that are fighting over you. What do you do, though?
I tell everybody, shut up. Yeah, walk away and shut up.
Poor Angie, like maybe she wasn't allowed, but it's like, walk away, honey.
Well, Whitney's like literally saying, Lisa Barlow, shh. And Angie's probably just like stuck because producers are probably in her like, don't you dare they're move, standing, Angie.
Standing right behind her.
Nope. Just pushing her back in the middle. No, you move. You're like, hey, everyone stop. Yep, we can talk about this after the sound bath.
Yeah, or like, I'm not going to stand in the middle of you guys as mm-hmm. you talk to me passive aggressively to each other. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here.
And this is why they're housewives, because they can't stop.
They cannot.
They don't do what rational people do in a fight.
No, and they give the weirdest like digs.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, Lisa says she wants to listen to the sound bath, and Monica says, quote, enjoy it because old people need it. Angie says, okay, that's low because I'm older than Lisa. Which I loved. I loved. Angie's like, excuse me, I'm older.
Don't come for age.
I'm loving that I'm just like randomly seeing people that I know at this party. Did you recognize anybody there?
No.
Did you see Brooke from Fresh Living?
No, but you're way more plugged in.
Oh, I've been on Fresh Living a couple times. My friend Alora is a host there. And Brooke is one of the hosts, and she's, oh my gosh, one of the nicest people. I'm like, oh, there she is. She looks so cute.
I love that. I was too distracted trying to
The whole fight.
Not die of awkwardness watching this.
Yep. Winnie's pissed. She's pissed. And I would be too.
Same.
Like, your event is getting ruined by these two women who can't stop.
And at what point, like, I know she said, should I go kick him out? Mm-hmm. It's like, I think I would have too.
Like,
girls, go out back.
Yeah. Make Justin do it if you don't want to do it. Exactly. Make Justin do it. It's the most childish fight ever. And Monica tells Lisa she's like a little tramp stamp because she always needs attention. I was like, what a dig. A little tramp stamp. I'm going to start using that. A little tramp stamp who needs attention. And Lisa yells, I never want to talk to you again. Like, she's yelling.
But then she keeps talking to her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She says that like 14 times. Mm-hmm. And then she just keeps chatting and keeps making little comments. Yep. And I'm like, Lisa, stop.
Yep.
I love that part when they were like, where is Meredith? We need her here. You can leave.
Exactly. Meredith is like so glad she's not there because she hates everything about Whitney. But she, Lisa's so mad that Angie's not taking her side. But I am Angie in that moment, trying to just 100%. Keep peace. Peace in the middle of, like, Lar knows.
Here's the problem, though. You are also the girl that is yelling. Okay, I'm telling the story.
Okay.
One time we're at a concert. I won't tell the details of it, but we were in a traffic jam in the parking lot, and Rosie is yelling out the window, slamming, just get out of here, yelling at these girls we didn't know. Here's the problem. Then she's giggling. And I'm like, you're not going to be the one that has to get in the fist fight. I am 100%. You go ahead and you say the words, and then you want me to go back it up.
But I can fight with people like
strangers.
Don't know. Yes. But when it's
like friends,
I cannot handle it. And let's be real. I really can't actually fight too many times when it's strangers, but I will. There are times when I step in car, road rage, major road rage.
Anytime we Marco Polo and you're just like, what are you doing?
Hey, you don't have a blinker on. But the second that they pull up next to me in the car at the red light,
in your
I'm just scooching my car a little bit forward so they can't see me in the window anymore. Oh, no, sorry. You can't see me.
Oh, actually.
Oh, I know. Hi. I just flipped you off, but I can't look at you in the eyes anymore.
Here, go to Swig and mention me and you can get a free beverage. I'm really sorry.
Use my loyalty points at Swig. Go get yourself a Diet Coke. I'm so sorry.
She's all bark, no bite.
Oh, but I think for me too, like feeling, I would have felt Whitney's feelings there and been like, guys, this is her event. Like that would have been the hardest part for me, is I know how important it was for her.
And like Angie is a very good friend to Lisa. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you want to back your friend up, but morally you're like, girl, you're acting psycho.
And Lisa was not being nice to her at all about not having, she's like, I'm not taking Monica's side. I'm just like being neutral.
Just not being rude.
Yeah. And Lisa couldn't handle that at all. Totally. Again, not her finest moment. The fight escalates and Whitney's literally like, you have to move. You have to move. We're trying to check out here and you guys are in the way. Like move to the side. And Lisa says Monica is like arguing with her children. And I'm like, both of you.
Yes. I do feel like that. They were acting so immature.
Yeah. And that
is. Which is what we love.
We love it. Thank you for giving us so much entertainment and things to talk about on this show. Thank you for your service. And then they leave. Like Monica hugs Angie. Lisa loses her mind when she hugs her. And then they leave. And then it's time for the next episode. So next time on the show, we get Monica's mom coming back. I think.
Oh my gosh, pulls up in the Range Rover.
In the car. Yep. And we get Mary telling Heather she looks inbred. And that's what's happening.
Oh my.
The meanest thing you probably could have ever told anybody in the entire world. It's worse than when she told Monica to stop eating.
Also, yeah, it is. She's actually a very unkind human.
She's a terrible person.
But I did hear you talking on the last podcast about where Mary lives. I found out.
Oh, where is it?
It's right above Salt Lake Capitol. Oh. Like the Capitol building. Oh. It is the prettiest community. It is like a gated community up above the Capitol. It's the prettiest place. Like out of all the housewives, her location is the best.
Should we maybe start going door to door and ask, do like a straw poll on how her neighbors feel? Have they ever seen her outside?
I mean, I'm just going to say that I have a close connection who was doing construction up there and saw her out.
Oh,
like really? In her yard. Yeah. And this guy came to me and was like, oh, I was doing work like right up by the housewives. And I was like, oh, who was it? And she's like telling me about Robert Jr. And I was like, oh my gosh. So anyway, that next neighborhood time, is beautiful.
Can we get a little video footage, you know, encroach on her privacy completely. Yeah, just give totally. Us a little, tell us what she's wearing. What's she wearing outside when she does her yard work?
She's not doing yard work, girl.
What was she up for?
She's sitting then. In those Dr. Seuss chairs and she's living her best life.
She is. Oh my gosh, guys. Thank you so much for coming and listening today on the podcast. I appreciate it so much. I appreciate your reviews and your ratings and you sharing and your messages, all of it. Laura, thank you so much for coming.
Just so fun. Thanks for having me.
Queen of my heart. And
I love being here.
Oh, I love having you. And if you want to follow, my Instagram is Rosie in Real Life. And the podcast Instagram is Salty Housewife. And I will be posting updates there. And I appreciate you so much. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.